The Nerdcast Empire is on the air. It is Friday, March 28th, 2025. I am Matt in the studio. Great to have you along with us. It is the Friday edition of the Nerdcast News Report as Nintendo has graced us with some more news, which gives us a little bit of news to talk about right out of the gate today as they dropped, I wouldn't say a surprise direct, but certainly one that they didn't announce well in advance. On Thursday, to kind of give everybody a preview of what is going to be coming from the Switch 1, which is not going away, even though we are getting the Switch 2 very soon. So we've got some announcements on that front that were made yesterday. And of course, the Switch 2 Direct coming up next week, which will certainly be a big topic for us at the end of the week. Joining me in the studio on this Friday morning is Mike. Mike, how's it going?
It's going. We are almost through March, which is terrifying, really, but excited about what's to come in the gaming industry for sure with Switch 2, obviously. And for someone like me, who's very much a retro-minded gamer, there was a lot to be excited about with this Direct. And I think that's kind of how Nintendo works. No matter what kind of gamer you are, there's going to be something you can pull from their announcements to derive some pleasure. Like, they pretty much hit every facet of gaming.
Yeah, and I think the biggest part of it as we dive into the news of the Direct yesterday is the fact that they're clearly still going to be focused on the original Switch, even with the Switch 2 coming out, and we'll get all those announcements next week. It's not like they're basically just punting on the original Switch. They're going to continue to release games for it. They're going to continue to do these remasters and remakes. Now, we may find out that a lot of these titles that were announced yesterday are also going to show up on the Switch 2. It would not surprise me in the least. But at the very least, if you're holding on to a Switch 1, if you just bought one recently, like I did, I'd say that mine's not really recent at this point, but more recent than most, you're not going to feel like you jumped on the bandwagon too late, which is certainly exciting news. Let's get to some of the news. And you saw kind of our background shot was of the Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD 2D remake that is not news by any stretch, but another trailer from that led off the Direct yesterday and kind of tease a new character potentially, which I know because you're far more into the lore of Dragon Quest, you know, could have some ramifications, could be tied to some other properties. But let's start there, and then we'll kind of get into some of the other stuff. I think, again, not news. We knew that. We know this is coming. We'll probably find out next week that it's also going to be on the Switch too. But also exciting to see that the progress on this continues.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing about the Dragon Quest 1 and 2 HD 2D remake is that obviously with the backward compatibility with Switch 2, there doesn't really have to be a dedicated Switch 2 version because graphically speaking, the Switch 1 should be able to handle it fairly well enough, I would think. But I do think that is kind of the issue with where we are with the Switch now. And when you look at games more like Metroid Prime 4 and Pokemon ZA, is that, you know, the most recent Pokemon games have struggled a bit on current hardware Switch. And, you know, I know they've announced Pokemon ZA a while back, and we kind of knew that would be a Switch 1 title. As far as Metroid Prime 4, I get the feeling that's going to be another one that you're going to much rather play on the Switch 2, despite it being a Switch 1 game, just for the performance side of it.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, this upgrade to the Switch 2, the biggest part of it is that performance side. The fact that it's not going to lag. It's going to allow some of these game developers, we've talked about it over the weeks, that, you know, maybe they didn't go to Switch for their newest and greatest titles because of the performance potential, that it might not be a good experience and people might not think highly of the game if they play it and it's kind of laggy. The belief is that's not going to be the case with the Switch 2, that it's going to be able to handle all this. So, yeah, I think, you know, like you said, maybe there doesn't have to be a dedicated second version of this, but at the same time, some of these games are really going to benefit, I think, from that extra power that the Switch 2 is going to provide.
Yeah, for sure. And getting into the Direct, it's interesting because the things that I'm excited about clearly aren't really what everyone else is excited about. For me, obviously, Metroid Prime 4 looks fine. Dragon Quest 1 and 2, really excited about that. Dragon Quest 3 HD 2D was almost perfect. There were a couple weird things about it, but otherwise, really, really loved it. Other ones that I'm excited about, the Raido remastered, a remaster of the third Devil Summoner game, Raido Kuzunoha versus the Soulless Army. I've never gotten into this Shin Megami Tensei spinoff series, but I definitely think I should. I enjoy all those games, and I think this would be no different. Pokemon ZA, they kind of went over more of the gameplay of that as far as the day and night differences within Lumia City and kind of how the whole Battle League structure of the game works, where you start as rank Z and you work your way up to rank A. Kind of a cool thing there. Still kind of interested to see what the real-time action RPG battles are like in the game. That should be interesting for sure. And kind of going back to like the remake and remasters, they've shadow dropped Saga Frontier 2 remastered, which I need to check out. I'm a little concerned that there's been no mention as of yet as far as a physical copy of the game being available. But, you know, if I have to suck it up and get one digitally, I suppose I can live with that.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned the digital part of it. That was one of the things they were hyping on this Direct, is this new digital cartridge sort of thing that allows for sharing in and no local networks and things like that. Like, I get what they're trying to do with that, trying to make it a little more like you own a physical cartridge, but at the same time, it's not a physical cartridge. You can't share it with anybody. There's limits to the amount of time you can share things with other people. So
you can't trade it into a used game store, you know?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's better than, you know, they're trying.
They're prepping people for sure. This is definitely kind of easing people into, hey, eventually you're not going to own physical games through even us. The kind of the last bastion of physical games in the gaming industry.
But there were other titles, you know, that excited a lot of people. The Tomodachi Life announcement just made people absolutely go nuts, which is not surprising. I mean, I don't know anything about Tomodachi Life, so what I'm about to say is probably blasphemous to people that are fans of it. But it has that vibe of like Animal Crossing.
Yeah, feels very cozy.
Yeah. And, yeah. That, you know, nothing wrong with having a cozy game that you enjoy. And like I said, I think people were really excited about that. You know, some other titles that I think that There was some excitement about it. I know I had one on top of it. The rhythm game, the rhythm Heaven Groove was one.
That looks wild.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I think, you know, it feels like kind of one of those games that flew under the radar yesterday, but could end up being a pretty big hit as people kind of find it fun. There's a lot of stuff. Make sure you check out the releases on there. Watch the Direct. You can still watch it on their YouTube page archived. There are certainly some other titles that I think will interest other people. And again,
I'm not a big visual novel fan necessarily, but that No Sleep for Kaname Date looks interesting.
That was an interesting looking game.
That's like,
there,
I think, the third installment from that, like the I Somnium Files series. Spike Chunsoft knows visual novels. They do pretty much all of them. So the puzzle solving in the game might be kind of cool, but maybe not for me, but I can see where people would be excited about it.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, a lot of good stuff, and certainly check out the Direct for kind of more news. And again, this was really just the warm up for what is expected to be big news next week when the Switch 2 drops, and we'll have that covered.
I do have to mention real quick, Shadow Labyrinth.
Oh yeah.
That looked kind of wild as far as like a Metroidvania game, but it has Pac-Man as a character in it.
That was interesting.
A lot of the gameplay involves you kind of fusing with Pac-Man to do things. I couldn't help but think that ultimately Pac-Man's the final boss of the game. Like, he's like following you around the whole time, helping you, and then you get to the top of this tower and you have to kill him. I don't know. It could also be maybe one of the giant ghosts from Pac-Man. I don't know. But as far as interesting ways to kind of repurpose classic gaming icons, I think that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, and it was very visually striking, honestly. Yeah. Like, I thought they really did a nice job with that. So yeah, again, a lot of good stuff out of the Direct yesterday. And one thing that wasn't a game that came out of the Direct yesterday but may interest fans is the news right at the end of the direct is they brought Shigeru Miyamoto out at the very end. And you wondered, like, well, what is this going to be? That they're clearly something important if they're dragging him out to talk about it. And it was basically just an app, the Nintendo Today, which is a free smartphone app that will basically deliver news directly to users. You're going to get a lot of news. They're promising a lot of news on the Switch 2 being delivered this way. So I have a feeling after we see the initial direct on the 2nd, then maybe they will trickle news out through this app rather than through YouTube videos or other social media platforms. It's an interesting idea. I guess I'm not shocked that they've decided to go this route, but you know, it is another a Nintendo app that you're going to need to download to your phone. Kind of what are your thoughts on them adding a news app?
Yeah, I'm not surprised in the least. I think when you're Nintendo, if you have the opportunity to feed to people directly any of the news and PR you want, why wouldn't you do that? Why would you rely on third-party social media or video applications? I think Nintendo is certainly large enough that if you want news from them and you can get it directly from the source, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
I did check out the app. You log in with your Nintendo account. You can set a theme based on your favorite Nintendo franchises and notifications on specific Nintendo franchises you want notifications on. You log into it today and it basically has like a countdown at the beginning as far as when the Nintendo Switch 2 Direct is going to happen in 5 days.
There you go.
Let's see. Information from the Direct from yesterday as well. Metroid Prime 4, Rhythm Heaven. It's wild. I'm kind of surprised they didn't just create an all-in-one app that also encompasses the fairly recently released Nintendo Music app, the Switch Online app. They have... Yeah, I have like 3 or 4 Nintendo apps on my phone, and I kind of feel like they could have all just been one thing, but maybe they wanted to keep the news as like a, if you don't want the rest of this crap, you just want the news, you can get it here. Also, it's always good to have a Shigeru Miyamoto
for sure
sighting. Always cool to see him. Dude's a legend and probably created one of your favorite video games.
Yeah, for sure. And it was a surprise when he popped up on the screen. Like, well, what is this going to be? You just think it's going to be something really important.
Well, they kind of thought that this is the last game presentation. And then they did the Tomodachi Life. And then it's like, oh, yeah, we got one more thing, too. Hold on.
Right. It's, of course, you have to bait people to thinking you're done and then give them another piece of news. But yeah, it's an interesting concept. And, obviously the countdown to next Wednesday's big direct is something that people will be interested in. And you know, obviously with that being on a Wednesday, and of course we run our podcast on a Wednesday, stay tuned. We might flex our schedule, maybe move our midweek podcast back a day so we can talk about the direct on Thursday. We'll see kind of how our schedules work out next week. But if not, we'll definitely get to it on Friday when we come back. But obviously going to be a ton of Nintendo news over the next couple of weeks, and Nintendo's app is a good way to get a lot of that news. Of course, we'll also have it covered for you here on the Nerdcast News Report at least 3 times a week. But again, check local listings for what our schedule will be going forward. Let's pivot from Nintendo. Let's talk about a topic that can be a little controversial, but you know, I don't think we need to really get too deep into the controversial side of it. I think the big story here is GameStop is, again, just kind of trying to fight for survival. They have been for a while. They, of course, became a meme stock, which basically bought them some time as they made a ton of money when the stock spiked and they were able to basically raise a bunch of capital to kind of keep their franchise in business. But of course, as you would expect, it was already kind of a failing franchise. So eventually the meme money is going to run out.
Yeah.
So now we have reached another kind of pivot point for this franchise, and it appears that the news is coming out that they are going to be closing more stores. They closed a bunch of stores last year. They're going to be closing even more in 2025. And they're going to try to invest in Bitcoin, presumably to try to recreate the magic, if you will, of the meme stock and hope that Bitcoin takes a big jump up. It feels like they're about 6 months late on this bandwagon as Bitcoin has come back down from highs of about 100,000. But I don't really know what to make of it because we've talked about it a lot. The bottom line is no matter what GameStop tries, whether it's a meme coin, whether it's a meme stock, whether it's a whatever it might be, unless they fix their model of business, everything is temporary. They're basically just kicking the can down the road to the point where eventually at some point they're just not going to exist anymore. I guess it's worth a shot if you're the company, but obviously I think the bigger news out of this is, again, we're going to have more store closures. Yeah. And certainly that's never good news in the retail space. And it just, it feels like we're getting to the end game, maybe finally in GameStop.
Yeah. It's strange. I think as far as the Bitcoin thing goes, yeah, they might be 6 months late this time around, but in the grand scheme of things, they're probably more like 10 years late.
For sure.
Like every now and then you see that image pop up online from some gaming tournament from like 10 or 15 years ago where like the winner got like 10 Bitcoin or something like that.
A dude could be living on an island somewhere right now. Yeah,
there was that. There was like the guy that ordered the pizza and paid in a couple Bitcoin before it really, really became what it is today.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's reminiscent in a lot of ways of kind of my time at Blockbuster, where it was like they had the opportunity to get involved in you know, cutting edge things, and they opted not to, and then they were just trying to play catch up, and unfortunately you never catch up. And I think with GameStop, you know, they've you mentioned the store closures, the Bitcoin, they're also going even further in on like the PSA grading of cards and games, which again is another kind of speculative market. I think a lot of that stuff, especially during the pandemic, and you see it on price charting, a lot of that stuff, the values on them became so bloated and inflated to where you're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for a sealed graded copy of Super Mario Brothers for the NES, which is absolute lunacy. But I think obviously with the store closures, the model that they're running right now, where it seems like they're trying to maybe lean more into the retro side, I don't think that's sustainable for hundreds and hundreds of stores. I think that does lend itself to a smaller footprint. And I'll be interested to see where things go, especially because, you know, they allowed Godzilla Games to acquire Game Informer. So I think it'll be funny 6 months to a year from now, if Game Informer actually becomes profitable, and this was something that GameStop was sitting on and just wasn't able to turn a profit with, had to kill it, and are now grasping at more straws to try to come up with a viable business model.
I mean, you have to wonder if they didn't pitch selling GameStop itself to this company and just be like, here, take the whole thing. You can have Game Informer, but you could also have this dying game brand.
Like, it just seems weird, and I mentioned it before we knew about when they first kind of teased Game Informer's revival and we didn't know it had been sold. You know, I mentioned that we saw what Electronic Gaming Monthly was able to generate just on excitement for their back issues and kind of a retrospective look into that. To me, if GameStop has to survive by pivoting over to the retro, I just feel like that would have made Game Informer even more valuable to them.
For sure. And I think you could have gotten a similar response through crowdfunding for Game Informer.
Yeah.
And then you decide not to do that. And I'm guessing they sold the brand for next to nothing because there was literally no value. What leverage did they have? They weren't using it. They took all the archives down. Like, there wasn't a lot of, it would be hard for them to say, yeah, we should get $1 billion for this, the thing that we thought was worthless. Like,
I also wonder too, and this goes back to, again, my time at Blockbuster, and also just going on YouTube and watching people offer tours of their gaming rooms. Would it be viable, and would they be able to kind of secure licensing to basically recreate old store displays that they then sell on the consumer market?
I mean, maybe,
because I mean, a lot of people seem really into those kind of things. Like, hey, here's my Switch display from GameStop or Best Buy that they were selling. Is there a market there to be found?
I mean, it wouldn't be worth, it would be worth a shot, like, at some point, just to see if you can make some bucks that way.
Yeah.
Because I think there could be. I mean, we see it in retro game stores we go into where they've recreated a Blockbuster section of the store. So
if you're already kind of like moving toward, hey, we want to entice the retro gamer, what better than to offer almost home decor, basically, that helps kind of set up people's game rooms? I don't know. I mean,
I don't know that the average person would do it, but I think you would want to price it in a way that the collector would be interested, so you could really make a set a high profit margin on those items and be able to do that. I don't know. That's an it's a possibility, but
it's something.
Yeah, I think it's probably a better plan than just taking a Hail Mary here and throwing your money in Bitcoin. That feels like, you know, one step below or above. I'm not even sure which direction. Just taking the rest of their money and running to Kroger and buying a bunch of lottery tickets.
Scratch offs.
And just hoping that one of them hits and then you save your company through scratch offs. So I don't know. We'll certainly keep an eye on it. Again, GameStop has probably been on borrowed time for 20 years. And, you know, it feels like maybe to some degree that time is running out. But who knows? Maybe it'll work out for them. But we'll certainly keep you updated on that. Time to wrap this up with the Empire Express. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
Seems like more smoke around the rumors we might see Switch 2 pre-orders start the same day as the Nintendo Direct on April the 2nd. The latest clue came from Best Buy Canada, which seemed to leak a pre-order date of April the 2nd for the new Nintendo console. Based on what we've heard, that's not a surprise, is it?
No, not at all. And it's also not a surprise that this information somehow gets leaked out. You have that many retailers kind of setting up to hopefully blow out these sales. Information's going to get out, and I think that may also lend to why Nintendo's setting up an app to try to contain more of their news. Other rumors point to a release date for the system as early as May 15th. Yeah. So definitely keep an eye out because we're getting near that.
Yep.
Ready for more anime crossovers with Major League Baseball. With opening day officially yesterday, Major League Baseball has announced a Heroes of the Game anime project with anime director Hiroshi Shimizu. It'll feature top players in baseball animated by some of the top animators in Japan. Seems pretty cool, right?
I mean, clearly with the Japanese players doing well in MLB, like they're just going all in on this crossover thing. I saw a little bit of the video of the ones they've already released. Yeah. And I mean, it does look really cool, and honestly it sounds like they're going to expand to more players, so I would expect it they'll try to maybe do a player on every team so that everybody gets involved. But you know, why not? Again, it seems like a crossover is making a lot of sense, and maybe you draw some young fans into the game. First it was Crunchyroll, and now the piracy sites have been that they're battling have now lost their comment section, unlike Crunchyroll, which chose to kill the comments. Popular anime piracy sites had them shut down by popular website comment software Discus. Where will those commenters move to next?
That's a great question. You know, I'm not a web developer by any means, and honestly, I had no idea that websites actually contracted out comment sections. I had no idea about this. This is just eye-opening to me. I can see why Discus maybe doesn't want to remain associated with piracy sites. I don't think you want to put yourself in a situation where maybe you're guilty by association.
Yep.
Or also lose legitimate contracts because they don't want to work with a company that's associated with illegal activity.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad that legit anime streaming sites have to keep hoping that things like this happen to the piracy sites just to kind of level the playing field. But I think this is where we are now. So, yeah, this interesting development.
Yeah.
Another AEW departure was announced this week as Saraya, formerly known as Paige in WWE, announced she was leaving AEW. After comments earlier in the week that she'd like to return to WWE someday, is it only a matter of time until that happens?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, who knows? It could be a matter of days. You know, obviously, they're still over in the UK. That would have made sense if you could. I don't know how quickly her contract was up, if you could have got her over there potentially for that. But with rumors starting to swirl that they may be doing another all-women pay-per-view in the summer, that kind of makes sense to bring her back and kind of make her a linchpin of that event. And finally, the latest cool thing to come out of Raleigh, North Carolina, a local weatherman from WRAL, who is known to be a big metal fan and likes to sneak references into his forecast, posted an Instagram reel that includes Sleep Token's logo with a sign saying prepare and the date of March 29th. Metal fans are everywhere, aren't they?
You know, between this and some of the bands that we found while doing the Hard Rock Empire Weekly podcast from the Raleigh area, it seems like they must have a pretty healthy metal scene. For those who aren't aware, check out the band Mega Colossus.
Yes.
They had one of my top albums from last year, Showdown. Just an amazing band out of Raleigh. And yeah, tune in to hear about more metal on Sundays.
And we'll be back on Sunday to talk all about that. But for today, that wraps up the Nerdcast News Report. You're all caught up on your nerdy news for this Friday. Again, as Mike just mentioned, coming up on Sunday, we'll have the latest edition of the Hard Rock Empire, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, the music of March the 14th. will be on our docket for this week. And then we'll be back on Monday with a Monday edition of the Nerdcast News Report. All the news you need to get your week started, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Monday. And obviously, time change in Europe this week with the daylight time starting. So adjust your schedules. Of course, join the Discord. That's a great way to be able to know exactly when we air our programs each and every week. Big thanks to Mike for joining me in the studio. Big thanks to Stoveleg Media for their continued support. And a big thanks to you for listening wherever and whenever you may be listening to our podcast. But that's going to wrap things up. We'll be back on Sunday with the Hard Rock Empire. Until then, don't forget to join the Empire, the Nerdcast Empire.